Hello, good morning, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And yes, we're not, there's no Kevin today because there was no Kevin on Monday. So we're going to wing it for 2 hours today. So how about that? So do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we've been talking about the peak of pessimism, right? We started talking about that a couple of months ago. And it happened to be correct, weirdly. And I'll come back to that. But that's not, hey, we can pick the market, tops and bottoms. We can't. That's really the point of talking about peak of pessimism. How do you measure that, right? How do you measure that? And I threw a few things out, still do. Because everybody agrees that our country is on the wrong trail. And not everybody, but some astronomical number. I can't remember what it is. I mean, I think there's like less than 20% think we're going the right way. And we're doubling down on it. And it seems weird. It seems hard. And so as far as people feeling confident about the market now that we have had a nice little rally from the bottom, they're not. So we're not becoming optimistic. Certainly not anecdotally, people I talk to. But the polls haven't moved. Now, are the Democrats doing better? Yeah, but that's actually frightening to most people. They don't want more of what we've had. But we have to have good candidates and so on and so forth. So as we head into this fall season, I'm not so sure that politics aren't going to play a little bit of a role in the market and our feeling about whether we have bottomed and are looking for better days ahead. I mean, can you imagine if we have more Build Back Better? How is that? I realize that that they've changed the name of the Reducing Inflation Act or whatever. They've gotten rid of that because they just everybody makes fun of them, even people in their own party. But more of that is more inflationary and more terrible. I mean, the idea we're going to it's kind of like education. We don't fix it. We just say we need more money, and we throw more money at it. The IRS, instead of fixing it, we throw more money at it. We hire more people into a horrifying situation. I mean, it's not a little thing to say 10% of the phone calls get returned. That it takes a year to get a refund. These are some really broken places that probably don't need more money. They need new management. And all of these things together, I don't think bring confidence back to the market. It feels like we've had a nice recovery, and we have. We truly have. And I'm a huge believer that the markets will continue to figure out their own path regardless of politicians. But it really doesn't feel like that there's an underlying confidence that this country, the business policy of this country, is on the right track. And with that being on the wrong track, marching to all-time highs again, right out of the chute, seems like it may take a little bit of time. We may not go straight back like we did in 2020. It just doesn't quite feel that way. And again, we're not really into the political season yet. We're close enough to start thinking about it. What are the policies? Are Republicans going to take the House? Are they going to take the Senate? They are big things. If they don't, we get a lot more of the same. and the same has most certainly not been business friendly, economically friendly. It's been disastrous to the economy. So I think we're going to start a little bit. You know, we don't talk much about this. The politics, of course, are part of it. But the strategists don't talk much about whether the House is divided, whether it's all in one hands or another. I think we're going to talk more about it as we get closer. We'll see. But we are seeing a fair amount of disappointment in the polling data about whether Republicans are going to get the Senate. I think that could play out in the market itself if that is true. If that, as we move closer, it looks apparent that they will not get the Senate. We will see. But we've come off of a huge rally, and this was the main thing, right? The main reason is we got so negative because nothing really changed, did it? I don't think we suddenly figured out inflation, but this is what I love. I love this back and forth on inflation, right? So earlier in the week, bulls take charge. Inflation appears to be peaking. Today's headline about Friday, because it was a bad day Friday. Not a horrible day, but a bad day. And a down week, down 1% or so for the week. The headline is investors reassess inflation. Like, that's all there is. Investors just are only thinking about one thing. They don't. But what this does to people when they're trying to think about the market or look at the market or are confused by the market. No wonder you're confused. They babble nonstop as if there's a reason every day. So why did the market go down on Friday? Well, perhaps that there was a possibility that $1 trillion, I am not joking, worth of derivatives, options, futures contracts called derivatives, all came due on Friday. People have to close out positions. It's unbelievable how much trading goes on. And it moves markets. Why don't we explain that? Go ahead and explain to people why the market moved on Friday was because, and then fill in the blank. Let's write an article about derivatives contracts. No, we got to come up with something stupid and simplistic that has no meaning every day for why the market does what it does, as if it doesn't consistently move higher over time. It does, because we continue to advance as a society. End of articles. We're done writing about the markets, but we're not every day. Traders move on oil prices. Traders move on oil prices the other direction. Inflation. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. The Federal Reserve. Yes, it is. No, it's not. It's unbelievable. Every like, oh my gosh, we just became aware today of inflation. Or, oh, and yesterday we just became aware of the Fed. No. And this is important. Markets are thinking ahead and digesting collectively and in different ways, because we don't all see it the same way. Everything. Not one thing. But these boneheads are like, well, this is the one reason why the market moved. No, it's not. It's not at all. And that is confusing for people. And it's an important distinction, because what the market is doing is then, if we only think of it as like one crazy thing, then we have to try to guess what that one crazy thing is every single day. And that's how you play the market. Well, no, you don't. The market is quality companies and not quality companies, and people are sifting through those and buying and selling pieces of businesses of the greatest corporations in the world. That's what it is. It's not an inflation report. It's not all about what the Fed is going to do. And it's that constant jabber. You just can't stop it. And the strategist comes on for, you know, Liz Ann Saunders and or whatever for Schwab. And then somebody else comes on and they're like, well, we're feeling really good about the Federal Reserve. What does that have to do with how many iPhones Apple will sell? None. Zero. So even the strategists that totally know exactly what the market is babble about nothing. And they're called market strategists. I mean, it's like, well, they know what the market is. And they never get it right. They don't know. Time out. Stopwatches get things right. Okay? They're usually not right at all about what the market direction. And usually, they're so good at saying things, you never really know when they became bearish or bullish. They just kind of change directions depending on what direction the market's going. They're really, really great politicians. It's babble. And this goes on every business day and pulls us further and further from the truth. Markets are thinking ahead, thinking way ahead. They're not like, well, I wonder what the Federal Reserve is going to do at the next meeting. Oh, my word. That might be true if you're a bond trader, like day to day. Like I'm trading 2-year treasury notes. Like that's a job, but I think it is. You know, there's bond traders. But if you're like a normal person or even an advisor, we're not like, well, I wonder what's going on with the Federal Reserve next month. How about what's going on overall with the companies? Are they innovating new drugs? Are they coming up with better iPhones? Not a question about this month's inflation numbers. And this, I think, gets people thinking that they need to figure out some of this stuff that's so short-term in nature, it's irrelevant. And the only thing you need to be thinking about, for example, if you are, like many people, in retirement or near retirement, so you're starting to think about this, how do I draw cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life, no matter how long I live? And that's the question. Then I have to ask, we have to constantly stop ourselves because it's constant noise. Why is the next Fed meeting important then? Well, it's not. It's not. Why is the next inflation number important? It isn't. It totally isn't. All it can do is cause you discomfort or temporary comfort, of which, of course, discomfort is 2 or 3 times more painful than the joy of being, of say, the market going up. Unimportant. Earnings outlooks are important long term to the companies you own. Everything else is noise. We get so far away from what the basic thing is, which is owning the great corporations of the world. And you don't have to catch them early. I know we had a big blow up this week. You know, again, retail investors getting back into the market again. Just in time to get whacked because they're buying ludicrous companies, gambling totes. Those are not investors. And I think it's important that we make a distinction. Buying and owning Apple, since they came out with the iPhone, is a 40-fold win. If you traded it, you made a couple of dollars. You don't have that kind of a home run. And the markets, the noise, always drives us to do what? To want to trade. To trade and trade and trade and trade. To gamble, 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 gamble. to predict, 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 predict. We all think we're so smart. We all have to try to predict. It's but we don't. We don't have to try to predict. That's not what this is about. And we all think we're good at predicting. I do too. I do too. But if we actually sat down and were honest with ourselves, you cannot predict the future. You cannot. Too many moving parts. And when it comes to investing, we don't have to do that. You don't have to predict what the economy will do next year. You don't. And not unless you're a Wall Street strategist or an economist that gets to keep their job by kind of dancing on the head of a pin. Never really being committed to whatever it is you're mumbling about. And that's okay. It just happens out there. But we don't have to listen to it and be drawn into it and be thinking about, I wonder if my portfolio is okay. Yeah, it's been okay for the last, 20, 30, 40 years. Why are you thinking about Bitcoin now? Why are you thinking about meme stocks? Why are you thinking about running into gold? All those things that get us off focus, get us thinking in weird directions. And I realize they're just trying to sell advertising, but we don't have to play. We really don't. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I would love to have your phone calls. Let's ring them up and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. We would love to hear from you, so do ring us up. Hey, in the second hour, I'm going to talk more about this, but I wanted to touch on it briefly, okay? There are a lot of things out there. I've touched on this before. There are so many different things out there with technology that allow people with exchange-traded funds, I mean, literally just like in the middle of the trading day, not complex, not filling out vast piles of paper, are these little exchange-traded funds that buffer the downside. They literally buffer the downside, meaning if the market is down, say 10%, that you can have a buffer that says if it goes down 10%, I lose nothing. Now, that isn't free, as we've mentioned many times with the annuities out there. But it's interesting. They cap the upside. But what's amazing is when you get into a really volatile time like this, you get the same 10% downside, but the cap is much higher. And if you change your mind, since it's an exchange-traded fund, you can get out tomorrow. Well, you can get out in the next hour. You can get out the next minute. Not recommended, of course. But you want a bigger buffer? You can go get one. It's amazing to me that so many options in investing are available for like nothing, right? Because you can buy exchange-traded funds for nothing. It's incredible. And so it's interesting. I'm going to touch on a number of them because if you are, like many people, sitting on a pile of cash because you're afraid of the market or you're sitting in, they're wondering what to do, there's a lot of stuff available that allows you to participate without tying your money up for the next 10 years in an annuity. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. There's a lot of stuff out there. So we'll touch on that. I mean, in these more volatile times, I mean, it's not as volatile as it was a few months ago, my gosh. But you've got caps out there that are just huge now. I mean, some of them are like Well, the market's never done that good kind of caps, okay? Saw one the other day, it was a 350% cap. Well, market's never gone up 350%. At least I couldn't find a time, couldn't think of a time that the market's gone up 350% over a five-year period. In other words, there is no cap. So some of these things have little or no caps, effectively. It's interesting. Very interesting. And it's really opposite of what you'd think. When the market's volatile and down like this, you would tend to think that these things, because of demand, would be not priced as good. But they're not. They're priced even better. All right, I'll tell you what. Warren, Jim, I'm going to go ahead and take our break right here, and so we have plenty of time on the other side. I don't want to try to jam something in. So just hang on. We'll grab Fox News real quickly and be back with you, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Warren. Warren, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please. Warren? Hello, Warren. Sounds like he's on delay. Okay. All right. Let's go on to Jim. Hopefully Warren will figure out where the phone is. Come on. Call us back, Warren. Jim, welcome.
Well, Dave, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Didn't want you to feel too lonely.
I appreciate it.
By the way, I just want to tell you that I keep my apples in the freezer. Uh-huh. I'm using a princess phone, a landline.
Oh my gosh!
I know. I'm a dinosaur, and I feel like one. So.
Yeah. That's true. You really don't have any cell phone.
No. But one thing I'll say, and I don't want to be too negative on your particular radio station, but. If you want to be more optimistic, don't listen to Kevin Miller's show.
Well, I think political discussion tends to get a little in the mud. It's not an optimistic time we live in, for sure. Yeah. Oh, we lost. Okay. All right, let's go to Warren. Warren, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please. We got it.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you can give me a little direction here this morning. My question concerns my daughter. She's 53 years old. She does not have an IRA or a 401k. She has no debt, and I think she's got about $10,000 or $12,000 saved. She just needs to know which direction to go to get into the investing area, something that some good companies that give a good dividend, where they got some good stocks. And she knows it's going to take her a while, and that's fine, but we just need to know what to do the first step. So, Dave, what do you think we should do with her?
Okay, first of all, I know you gave me a quick rundown, but I don't think you said she had a 401k. Does she or no?
She does not.
Okay.
No 401k or no IRA.
Okay, so this is, but no debt, so now we're ready to roll, correct?
We're ready to rock and roll. Let's
okay.
go get it. Tell me which way to go and where and what to do.
All right. If her income is she single?
She is single,
okay.
Yeah.
Under $110,000 of income?
Yes.
All right. Roth IRA is the start. She's over 50, so she can put $7,000 in, and it'll be tax-free and grow tax-free the rest of her life. Anything above that, then we'll... And first of all, Roth is not, to answer your question, like, how do we start buying stocks and all? Hey, you can do that. I would recommend the start be just going ahead and buying, like, the S&P, SPY... And there's a zillion of them, broad market ones, okay, that'll give you a really good diversified stock portfolio. You can focus on the dividend payers. And then as it gets bigger, you can then go ahead and branch out into more and more stocks. But I would start there and just start building it up, because you can just go in and buy them, and ETFs are free. And as it starts to grow, and as she gets closer to retirement, you're going to probably want to at least find an advisor at that point, because you're shifting, the portfolio starts shifting into income producing. That gets very dangerous unless you know what you're doing. It's a very dangerous time. Yeah.
Do you recommend any particular investment company around that we could go talk to and sit down and get this started? Are you guys taking any at your office?
We usually do. What we've found now, though, is that we're a little too busy, so we had to stop taking new clients.
Okay.
That's temporary, Warren. That's temporary because what we're doing right now is trying to hire new advisors in. But it takes time. It's you know, we've all heard how difficult it is. But we lost one of our folks that wanted to move home to family back east. And that's just been, she's been hard to replace. So we had to just say we can't take new people right now. But again, that is temporary. So check back with us. And the answer is yes, because what you want to do is you're going to want to go in and start a relationship. Unfortunately, most people will not take somebody that has $7,000. They just won't. But we decided a long time ago that we will do that. And you know, it's not that things can't change, but we can't do it right now because we have to take care of the people we already have. So
I understand.
Yep.
I will check back with you later on. And again, thank you for your advice, and we will get this thing going.
Okay, good. And in the meantime, get it going. That's right. You got it. You said it. Okay.
All right, Dave. Thank you,
Warren,
sir.
Thank you. Good call. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Hey, it's not too late at 53. To start. I mean, not at all, right? It's never too late. I mean that. But I don't ever want to stop talking about a cup of coffee a day for 40 years. $5 a day for 40 years is 1.2 million. Not 1.2 million invested in Microsoft at the IPO or Apple. The whole market, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the S&P 500 is what that is. But you need 40 years. You need 40 years. It's always the lesson. So if somebody's out there like, well, I'll get started sometime down the road. No, it's just start now. Like now. Like Monday morning, the first thing you do is you're going to open an account and you're going to start putting away a little bit of money. $5 a day for 40 years, 1.2 million. Time is the most important thing. Time, the amount of interest you earn, are the two most important things of the three. And people think it's how much money you put away. But it's the interest you earn and the time it compounds that are the two biggest factors. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. It's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. So, by the way, we have an email here, but once again, it's Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. With the inflation we are experiencing, is it fair to say that these elevated prices are the new norm, even if inflation drops back down to 2 to 3%? Yeah, that is, by definition, we would have to go negative inflation, right? We'd not just drop back to 2 to 3%. We're staying here, and then any future inflation would be on top of that. That is correct. Now, are there going to be some things that come down? I think that's really going to be the key going forward. Are we going to see some reduction in, say, airline tickets as more flights open up, as they find more pilots, et cetera? Because the demand is off the charts, and they just can't get enough people moved. So prices have been extremely high. Do they stay that high? Probably not. But that's only one aspect, right? It probably will come down in some ways. But will energy prices come down? How far can they when we won't drill? And back to then, does it matter who is in the White House? You're darn right it does. We saw that, right? We saw America in a very short period of time become energy independent, only to become not energy independent in a very short time. It matters. So as we're approaching, you know, these midterms, and then we think about the next presidential cycle, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Will the Ukraine war kind of peter out and enough oil get out? We'll see. You know, these all have effect on the energy prices and therefore the prices of just about everything else. It's not the only thing inflating out there. But the answer is, even if we pull back to 2 or 3%, it's going to be from these elevated levels, yes. And I don't know anybody that thinks we're going to get to 2 or 3% very quickly. We have screwed up big time. We had to run another experiment. I have no idea why. Apparently, they don't teach history. They don't actually teach about money to economists anymore. They teach whatever theory they want to believe, not what actually works. So we ended up printing ourselves into a situation where then finally the money supply took off and went out of control, completely out of control. Even though that's what we did in the 1960s and 70s and propelled us into the worst inflation ever until we had Reagan and Paul Volcker. Had the courage to stop it and began the Reagan boom. And boy, was it a boom. Apparently, another generation, a couple generations later, we've forgotten all about that, that government doesn't do a very good job. In fact, they're complete and abstract failures at maintaining and operating an economy. But print they did. And they printed and printed and printed and printed. And printed and printed and printed. And we wound up, finally, we were able to ignite inflation. So we're stuck for a long time with too much money supply. There's just too much money out there chasing everything. And the Federal Reserve thinks that they can get on top of this by raising interest rates a little bit. I don't think so. I think we have to literally shrink the money supply. History says we do. History says raising interest rates will only cause a recession, and a recession with demand falling, great, groovy, we lower a little bit of inflation. But we still haven't dealt with all of that money out there. That's going to be the trick, in my mind. So, Mike, thank you for the email. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. All right. Brian, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
Very good. I know I'm an older guy in my late 60s. And I don't know, I think you're in the same position as me.
No, I'm in my early 60s, so much, much, much younger than you. But yeah.
Okay, well, that's what makes you feel better. I just wanted to bring up a point. I know it's doom and gloom time, and I know it's, oh, my gosh, look what's happening. But I lived through the real estate depressions and the downturns of the late 70s and the 80s and the 90s mm-hmm. and the 2000s in Southern California. And when people look at what's happening right now, you can actually make a comparison. It's very comparable to what happened back then many times. And what I'm advising my adult children, who all live here these days, is that take a look at, if you want to build wealth, you can build wealth in several ways. Market is one of them, and that's part of my life too. But also real estate should be part of your life, both ownership, home ownership, which is great, but also investment ownership, because when you're watching the pricing, what's happening today, you're beginning to see a small downturn mm-hmm. and a growth of inventory. And what you just described, with the money supply and the inflation projection that you just described, we're going to see an absolute, I'm so bullish about the future, not only the markets, mm-hmm. but also not over the financial markets, including the real estate market. But I'm so bullish about the real estate market in the Treasure Valley that I barely sleep sometimes when I think about it for my kids. Not for myself, but for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they need to be in it. And if anybody's thinking about that these days, or thinking about the future and worried and laying around, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen is there's a downturn, and we're going to stay down for a while. And then there's going to be upturn because the country's coming back in a big way politically, morally, and that's going to lead to financial success. And I just want to add a little, note of brightness, I guess, to people's thoughts, if they're listening, that if you're considering or you're thinking about what your future and you're, like you just said, it takes 40 years. Well, if you've got 40 years or you got 30 years, you can make yourself unbelievably rich mm-hmm. in the Treasure Valley. And not only by putting your money away and being smart and stuff, but also by investing and specifically investing in rental property. Because we're starting to see a glut of inventory that's coming on the market, and we're going to see a lot more. And we're going to see prices that are going to be stagnant and in many cases falling. I don't know how much, but they're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see the opportunities to buy stuff at bargain basement prices that you can get and hold and make money on. And then when you get into the age that I am right now, your future is secure.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to bring that up and say, if you're doom and gloom, if you're down in the mouth about it, don't be, because we're coming back in every way, shape, and form, every way, morally, spiritually, and then that's going to lead to financial success the right way. And, the country, the world looks to us. We are the leader, and we always will be. And we will not fail. And that's all I wanted to say.
I appreciate it, Brian. That's great. Good stuff. I like it. I like the optimism.
Thank you.
And I do, I do. I think we've hit a tipping point. It feels like it. I know I sound like a broken record, but I agree with you. Is we're coming back. We're going to. It's gonna change things. Yep. Brian, thank you. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Wow. That must have been a hard one. I've only said that 1,000 times. Anyway, that is awesome. And I don't disagree at all. We've got problems, and we've got massive problems in government. It is so corrupt. And I'm not just talking about the FBI and the Justice Department and all that stuff. It's, the IRS targeting people. The CDC they just want more money. And they did a crummy job, an unbelievably bad job in the pandemic. The only job they had. This is the only thing they'd have to do. And they can't even do that. Not poorly. It was misdirection. It was so terrible. It's going to change. This kind of incompetence at the government level, where people are just so much smarter than all of the people, all of us minions. They know how to operate nothing. They know nothing. All they do is wield power, and it's a frustrating time. Tipping point. Tipping point. Anyway, great call. Thank you very much. I appreciate the optimism. Next hour, I'm going to be talking about, in my opening monologue, we'll be talking about all that stuff I've been kind of touching on for the last few months. There's so many cool new things out there for people who are really nervous about the markets. You can put buffers underneath, and you can still participate in the market. Some of them offer leverage on the upside. No downside leverage. I know. It's crazy stuff. But the reason I'm focused on it now is because the deals have gotten to be so much better. So much better for this small investor. You don't need to have these terrible long 10-year annuity contracts and stuff and pay 10% commissions. Not at all. They even come in the form of exchange-traded funds. We'll talk about that next. And, of course, you can hear the music. We are going to be having Fox News at the top of the hour. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, as I like to remind everybody, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we are not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. We're not selling products. It's not how we operate at all. And it doesn't matter what the product is. We take a look at the whole shelf and say, should we be buying bonds? No, not in a rising interest rate environment. And not when interest rates were low, stable low, but you couldn't even earn the inflation rate. These things make no sense. So to me, the whole pursuit in investments is not to be stuck on a 60-40 portfolio because it's always worked that way. No, it hasn't worked. It won't work. Not when rates are at zero. It won't work. And we have to think that through. We have to think about the big picture, not the little picture. The little picture of, you know, the market went up today because suddenly everybody was worried about inflation, but yesterday they weren't. Huh? Does that make any sense? Of course it doesn't make any sense. But that's the daily babble of the markets. I get it. They got to babble about stuff. But you don't have to listen. It throws us off. So we want to talk about the innovations, the creations, the things that are going on out there. The great companies and what it means to own a great company for a long period of time. What it means to change the entire wealth trajectory of your entire family. What it means to be able to give a large amount of money to, say, the Boise Rescue Mission and change lives. All while not operating a business. No. Investing. It's almost like it can't be true that it's that easy to put $5 a day away and be a millionaire and never increase the amount of money you're putting away. It's true. And it's hard sometimes for us to see the super positive that there is out there. It's so positive. The trajectory, if you will, right? It's so positive. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. I want to talk about this because everybody's scared. I know. It's all different this time. It's never been like this before, or it was only in the 70s and blah, blah, blah. And then we had Reagan and now we've got Joe. And Joe's making it worse, just like Jimmy Carter did. I'm worried. So a lot of money has found its way into these equity indexed annuities. And I'm not here just to beat them up. You know how I feel about them. I mean, they're the product that is really horrible. It's not regulated in any way that I can figure out. They can say whatever they want to say. Things like there are no fees. What is a 10% commission then? Not a fee? Oh, well, the insurance company pays it. Yeah, just like the car dealership pays it. Do you don't think it's built into the price of the car? If so, I'm really surprised you don't own the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, everybody knows that. It's absurd. Yeah, there's fees. Massive. And you're stuck. You can't change your mind once you figure out how bad it is. They are so horrible. You've heard me rail about them for years. And I always said, if things changed, like the commissions came down and the product itself changed, I might open up that shelf again, that dusty cupboard, like the bonds. We don't do bonds until rates are at a reasonable level again. There's a lot of dust on that door. A lot. But they never have. Even though they're now available in the advisory area, meaning no commissions are paid, they're still horrible. But lo and behold, things are changing. They are changing. And it's being driven because technology now allows little black boxes called computers, not rooms full of mathematicians and slide rules. That's expensive and slow. To instantly come up with all of these different things, all of these iterations. They are they're called, they come from the world of notes, custom notes. They're linked to the market or even a stock or a basket of stocks. There's all kinds of different things. You can custom make about anything. And sometimes people do. They were terrible products for a long, long time. Absolutely terrible. Because computers couldn't do them. And there was no competition. So the product cost was very, very high. Now it's very low. Now they come knocking. They compete with each other, these big banks. J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and all of them are competing to have, let's call it, $3 million of notes at Petso Financial, which you carve up into, with technology, you just say, oh, you want 15,000, I want 15,000 in that portfolio, 20 in that one, 30 in that one, and so on. And all of a sudden, you're there. And they're competing. And so the margins have all cratered. And it's created a lot of innovation as well. A lot of new, interesting ideas. And now they've found their way into the exchange-traded funds, ETFs world. And there's zillions of iterations of that. You want only 10% buffer? Great. You want 30%? You got it. Sold. And you have all of these incredible products, and they're traded literally every day. So you want to own one now, you change your mind next month because you just don't want the buffer anymore, boom, out you go. Everything has a price. It's not free. But I like the idea of having liquidity. And one of the things I learned a long time ago, and I learned it again in 2008, is that when people get really nervous, they're just not going to play. You got to have an alternative. And I can talk till I'm blue in the face that all you need to do is own the greatest corporations in the world long term, and you're going to make about 10%. Now, if you want to say, oh, the future is not as bright as the past, that's fine. They're still going to make 8. Okay, I can live with that. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to trade it, blah, blah, blah. But when markets get chaotic, and we know how the media is now, we even know how our own brains are. We're wired to hear about problems. We can't, as a media, we can't wait for the next shooting. We can't wait for the next train wreck. We can't wait for the market to tank. Because nobody watches. It's not just that they're evil people. Gosh, it's because we don't watch. But we can't wait to watch hospitals get bombed. We can't wait to see a train wreck. We can't get enough. Special stock market report this evening on the market crash. We can't watch enough of that. And it doesn't help us to have a clearer perspective. But just saying it, it's not going to stop you. It's just not. I mean, how many people do you know, for example, that are really quite miserable and unhappy? And all they do is continue the same exact inputs. I mean, it's like obvious to the whole wide world. Probably you should change what you're doing. Change the inputs. Maybe it won't make you angry as much. Just put down. Put it down for a while. Take a walk. Go see the grandkids. Do a little happy dance. Why don't you take your wife dancing? Go to a concert. Something fun. Or you can sit down and get angry every night by digesting data. We all know it. And it's hard to see it in ourselves sometimes because we think we're above it. But the reality is there's too much input out there. And people are scared. And angry. I am too. I'm really angry about injustice. It's my thing. It's my thing, and I have to keep telling myself, "Good gosh, I'm 61 years old, and I can't stop like thinking I'm gonna, you know, if only people would understand this better, then I could change the world." No, you can't. You can't. There isn't equal justice. And that makes me angry. But I can't change that. That makes me angry too. So I got to dial it back. And when it comes to markets and all the information, a lot of people really need to dial it back. Quit worrying so much. All right, enough of that said. If you need to have buffers, guarantees, they're available. I prefer the buffers, hands down. Because markets just don't go away, and if they do, everything went away. And I sure don't think you're going to get your money back from an insurance company. If the market goes to zero, but has the market ever gone down over like a five-year period and gone down more than 30%? Okay, that's not a Final Jeopardy question. I won't make you wait for 15 seconds or 20 seconds or whatever it is. No. Markets go down and they come back. They may go down 50%. They have several times in my career, only to come back. But they're not down 50% 5 years later. They come back. You say, well, the market was really flat in the 1970s. It was. It was flat, not down 50% for the 10 years. It did have 50% corrections, but then they came back up. I prefer buffers. Because you can, look, if the market does go down for a year from now, and it's down 15%, and I only lose 5, I'll take it. That's not bad. I don't have a lot to come back from. If I get most of the upside. That's the penalty you pay. You don't get a dividend. That's why I'm not saying it's right for everybody. But when we get into these volatile times, I've mentioned this before. This same ETF, and I'm not going to tell you what one it is. There's lots of them. They're very similar. Every single month they come out with one. Just came out and priced yesterday for their August one. Do you know, let's give you an August to August example. Last August, on their 10% buffer, which means if the market goes down less than 10%, you lose nothing. If it goes up, you can get up to, a year ago, 11%. And some people will be like, I'm okay with that because I'm really nervous. And in August of 2021, everything was really calm. Here's the deal today. Same one, because it repriced yesterday. 10% from here down is protected. You get up to 21%. Double the upside. It's a better deal. You see what I mean? During volatile times, it gets to be a better deal. Kind of counterintuitive. Not kind of. In my mind, it's completely counterintuitive, okay? I would think it costs more to hedge, and it does inside of the annuities, by the way. It does, because it's the opposite side of the trade. And if I don't like this, and I'm thinking, you know, market's done good, but I'd like to get some fresh protection, you can sell it and buy another one next month. You can sell it next week. You can sell it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's Sunday. You can't sell it tomorrow. How about Monday? My point is a trade. It's an open market. They're not illiquid, and there's no commission to buy. So nobody's wrote off with 10% of your money, so now the insurance company has to keep that money for 10 years and continue to earn. And the deal doesn't change. That's another thing. There are deals out there, but the thing is, like annuities, I saw one the other day that you have a really high cap now, you know, on it, okay? It's really good for 1 year. What's the deal next year? Remember, next year we have 9 more years of a gigantic surrender charge. You don't know. It could be anything. Who signs up for something for 10 years and only knows what it's going to do for 1 year? You got to be kidding me. It's terrible. These say what they're going to do right off the bat. If you don't like it, it's structured. It's an amazing thing. And so I've learned a long time ago that there are times when you really need to be looking at these things, and it's counterintuitive to when. The deal gets better when the market is volatile and down. Deals get even better when interest rates are higher. There's other reasons, too. We don't need to get in the weeds in how they design these things. It's unbelievable. What you need to understand, though, is that these kind of things that you have frozen you on the sidelines, you don't have to be afraid. There are alternatives. Some of them come with an iteration of you get lots of income. But they are all tied to an index of some kind. And whatever level of protection you feel like you want, you pay for it. You either get less interest, you get lower caps, less. Look, I'm not trying to sell anybody on these at all, on any particular thing. But we just saw one in. It's like truly remarkable in my mind. It's a 5-year deal. They change all the time, okay? So this one's one we happen to be doing. We're going to do with some of our portfolios. 5 years, 150% of what the S&P 500 does. So if it goes up 10, we get 15. In 5 years, with a cap of 260%, meaning, okay, I give up the upside above 20% per year for the next 5 years. I'm okay with that. But what else did I give up? No dividend. But when I get 150% of the upside, I'm not worried about the dividend. I also have some protection on the downside. This is the kind of thing that I want to bring out and say, not because I think you need to come in and get one of these. Buying and owning the great corporations of the world will make you rich. There are opportunities when markets are volatile that feel counter and are counter to your knowledge. I get that. But most importantly, the reason I want to talk about this is to help people understand you do not have to be in the market or in an annuity and there's no in between and you're stuck with super volatile, high risk, don't get in the casino, or you're stuck in a high commission product that will not work, guaranteed not to work. But don't worry, it works for the guy selling it. But you're stuck when you figure out how crummy it is. There's an entire world of stuff of different risk levels, all in between. I prefer the dividend-paying stocks, the great companies, pure, plain vanilla, except when we get into volatile periods, and I don't want to get in the weeds, where we can do some special stuff that is just like it's only available when it's the peak of pessimism. But a lot of people, it's just not how they think. They're not wired. They're wired more fearfully. And right now, you couldn't buy bonds. We're almost there. You can start buying bonds now and feel like you're earning the rate of inflation at least. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're getting back to there, right? Where you can blend in and have a little world of risk. But now we have all of these with technology, all of these new products that are literally available to anybody. Not gazillionaires, not people that have millions to put in. The products are available to people, to normal people. They want to put in 20,000 or 10. You can do it. And you're not stuck. You are. I mean, you should never sell these things early. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. It's not. But they can be unwound anytime. And if it's an exchange-traded fund, they do trade every day. But understanding there's a whole world between buying a meme stock like Bed Bath & Beyond and buying an annuity. There's a world of stuff out there. All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, you know, we are going to probably do a, you know, video and stuff like that on these products just to try to educate a little bit more. So I'll keep you posted if we do and get it out there on our YouTube channel. All right, let's go and take a quick break. Our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetzelFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Terry.
I sometimes feel bad calling in because I don't want to interrupt you when you're on a roll.
I could have kept rolling, you know. Though that I just, you see why this, to me, this industry is so much fun. It's evolving, right? I mean, we just get these new fangled things. It's, you know, it's not always a bad thing to, you know.
Well, don't hang up on me because I just did my first limit order on a piece of Bitcoin.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Again, learning something new and having fun, but I do need your help.
All right. Fire away.
I'm looking at a copy of Thomas Sowell's Basic Economics here, and it's only about 4 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to go back and read it. So would you tell me or help me, all the inflation caterwauling and everything, when does deflation kick in?
It's deadly dangerous if you get it. That was the Depression, okay? It's pretty rare, all right? It is very rare to have. But what it is you kick it in with the economy so bad that – there's not enough products moving at all, and prices start to come down. And then it can get really out of control when everybody puts off buying anything because they know it's getting cheaper. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, this is Powell juggling his chainsaws back east.
It's what? Say that again?
Oh, Chairman Powell juggling the chainsaws.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the Fed was worried about disinflation. Because it did happen in Japan a little bit, and we were close to having no inflation for a long time in this country. Really not a big problem. We were still growing, but they did talk about it a lot. Now we have printed so much money that getting it back, getting the money or the genie back in the jar is going to be really tough. It's tough to pull out trillions of dollars out of the system. It will absolutely cause a terrible recession if you took it all out at once. It would be terrible. So even the plan to do it, they also don't want to scare the markets and make it too chaotic and all those things that they're trying to juggle. But you're right. It is. They screwed up. They screwed up big time. It isn't just Joe. Joe's ideas are off the rails. It's just off the rails. But but them continuing to print money when they knew inflation was there and admitted it makes no sense.
I go back to President Eisenhower's speech and the beware the military-industrial complex and what we've got from that.
Yeah.
And this is just an output of that. I go back, simpleton that I am, I go back to diversification.
Mm-hmm.
We need to help ourselves on an individual level. So you help you and yours first, and you save a little bit and don't buy that latest, I'm sorry, your latest iPhone or whatever. You put a little aside, and some of it might be a little bit of piece of gold. Some of it might be some food. Some of it might be property. It's all, you go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we're going to stop coddling these people. Times are difficult, but if we don't fix something, it's going to get really difficult. It's going to get really hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hopeful. We are, you know, I'm sorry I forgot his name, but he called earlier, and great hope in talking about the future. I agree. It's a tipping point.
Yeah. If we can stop these disingenuous, self-serving clowns, and I'm cleaning that up for public radio, back east, we have to live on budgets. Mm-hmm. Darn it, those people ought to have to do it too.
Well, they should, but they won't. And until we demand better, it's interesting. The Wall Street Journal today had a pretty good opinion piece on American making a case for American Revolution and morals, I think it's worth reading. But it is. It's something there. As we look at it today, you may disagree with some of this list, but I'm going to quickly run down it just because I think it's a very interesting thought, and that is the political class has lately produced an impressive string of debacles. Afghanistan pullout, urban crime waves, easily foreseen inflation, mayhem at the southern border, a self-generated energy crisis, a pandemic response that wrought little good and vast ruin. Then there's a perennial national embarrassments, a mind-bogglingly expensive welfare state that doesn't work, public schools that make kids dumber, universities that nurture destructive grievances and noxious ideologies, and a news media nobody trusts. The whole point is that we are run by a bunch of idiots, and we got to do something about it. I know. But think about this. This has been going on for a long, long time. And our country is still doing barely, but okay. It is still the dominant force in the world. And the dominance is the businesses and the people who are running after their own, for their own good. Yep. And creating great products.
Your vested self-interest starts, it starts at home. I go back while you mentioned in there the failed welfare state. If we would have listened to Benjamin Franklin to start with about debtors, we should make them uncomfortable in their poverty.
Right, right.
You don't let them have their air conditioner and their 50-inch flat screen and their game console and sit on their ass all day. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, if you're a little hungry, you're going to go find work to buy some food with.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting puzzle of questions and why we don't and can't politically. I just disagree with that. I think there are the vast majority of people want to do something about the schools. They want to do something about the welfare state. They want to fix Social Security in a permanent way. I think the vast majority of people actually want to do that. And there's going to have to be some strength with a party, it'll have to be Republicans, that are going to step forward and say, we'll take it on and we'll take the bullets, but we're going to have to explain to people why we're changing this. But it does. It's going to take courage, and I just don't see that out there. But I do have to say, I see a tipping point in a lot of this. People want change. They don't think that any of this stuff is good.
Right. Actions have consequences. Consequences, inactions have consequences.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But anyway, right. Well, I'm running out your commercial times here. So,
yep, we're going to jump off. Thanks, Terry, for your call.
See you, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Our email, by the way, is dave@petzofinancial.net. Here's one that came in a little bit earlier. Joe writes, I received 4 mailings from a law firm requesting how many shares of a stock I had purchased and at what prices. For a claim against the company, I suspect the legal fees will take all the money and at least I would get some pennies back. Should I waste my time for the pennies? What a good question, Joe. The answer is most of the time, in my mind, no. But on that paperwork should be an indication of how many pennies, after all the fees are paid, you're going to get. Because the settlement has already come, or they wouldn't be requiring you to prove how many shares you owned at thus and such a time, how many you bought during that period of time, and how many you owned at the end, right? That's how they base the settlement, right? There should be some indication of a range of money per share, and you can decide if it's worth $10 to you. If you have a lot of shares, then maybe it's worth it. I have seen deals, though, before. We worked on one for clients. It was a spinoff of another company, and we don't want to go too far into the details of it, but it was a spinoff, and it went bad. And it was done. It went bad because of the finances. They were lied to. And so basically they took everything the company had and gave it to the stockholders. It was a large, there were large checks. I mean, there were people getting $20,000. You know, they got all of their money that they lost back, in some cases more. So it was quite a large settlement because it was wrongdoing, right? It was really pretty much theft, fraud. So it depends on the circumstances. Most of these are not, and I wouldn't waste your time. So honestly, it's up to you. It's up to how good your records are, how quick and easy you can do it, and see if you can figure out, though, how much it is, okay? All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I got so far behind. Let me go ahead and take this final break and get it out of the way. And if people want to give us a call, there'll be plenty of time on the other side. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. If you want to call in, we've got plenty of time. I started this hour, talking about different ways that are hedging out there, but it excites me, and I wanted to talk about, not that the hedges excite me, the idea that all of these things have come to a level where any investor can use them. This is across the board, but it's also dangerous, okay? And this is what I want to talk about, the meme stocks and things like that. You know, it just makes for great press, I guess, to watch a train wreck like Bed Bath & Beyond. To watch an investor, a billionaire, use social media to pump up the price, make a lot more money, and then dump it into the market. And then the stock craters. And all the people that know nothing about it are left holding the bag. Collectively lost every penny that this guy made. I think it's legal. I don't know. I'm sure there'll be lawsuits of some kind. They'll try. But I blame it. I hate it. I don't like the person that did this. Whoever would do that is just a gosh-awful person in my mind. I just think it's wrong. But in the first place, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with people thinking that they're going to buy a gambling tote, and get rich. This is not investing, and it destroys the markets. It really does, because in people's minds, this is the same as investing, and it's not. It's not even close. If somebody wants to trade it, and then we hear about the story, well, this college kid made $1 million trading in GameStop. Well, go groovy. Well, I don't even know if it's true. How does somebody, do they just say that? Yeah, they do. Do they actually check it out? No, of course they don't. But let's go ahead and suppose it happens. Well, what about the hundreds of people that lost money? You know, some guy won the lottery, but nobody wins the lottery. I mean, that doesn't mean that you ought to play. The tax is 50%. I don't mean after you win. It's 50%. 50% of the money that's played is what's actually returned. There is no game in the casino that's allowed to be that bad. None. Keno's not that bad. I'm not suggesting playing Keno. I'm just saying it's not as bad. It's just crazy. Nobody would think that. It's a great idea to go do that. But that's what people do. And then they say they can't really afford to invest. But they can throw money away gambling. And I don't just mean on GameStop or Bed Bath & Beyond. And I'm not here to crush the fun. I actually think I'm a pretty fun guy. Fortunately, some of my friends think that too. But you got to put a couple bucks away first. And if you want to throw it away on Bed Bath & Beyond, go ahead. You want to go to the casino? I like to play craps too. It's fun. But I really don't think that the rooms and the meals are free. They're the most expensive rooms and meals in the casino are the ones that are free. That's a fact. And we all know it. Nobody, I don't think anybody thinks that they're just like going to be able to operate against the odds over the long haul. And the odds are not good when you don't have investments going, that you're going to have a comfortable, stress-free financial life. Life has lots of stress. There's no reason living in the most abundant time on the planet, in the most abundant country in the world. You have already won the lottery of life. You are an American. You were born in America. Bam! Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's over. You're out. You are the most blessed person ever. Like, bam, just like that. It's unbelievable. And to be born in this time, oh, it's never been blah, 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 barf, barf, barf. It's never been better. People have never lived longer, more abundant lives. And sure, we're messing it up with boneheads in Washington, D.C. We don't fix anything. Everything they do wrecks everything. And we reelect them. Again, back to this. We can blame the billionaire for bailing out of Bed Bath & Beyond. And that's what people will do. Or we have to go, there's something wrong with us. That Joe Biden's been in Washington, D.C. for 40 years. And nothing is going right. Nothing is being fixed. Nothing's even being talked about getting fixed. It's not just Joe. It's all of them. They're not fixing anything. They break everything. And we elect them. It's our fault. It's not their fault. They're morons, sure. And we re-elect morons. Whose fault is that? I want really stupid people that won't do anything right to govern over me. That's my vote. And we do it. We come into the markets and we blame Wall Street. Because we won't put a couple of bucks away to take care of ourselves in the most abundant time, in the most abundant country the world has ever seen. A cup of coffee a day. Are you kidding me? It's just nothing. You can't even go to the Boise Open and buy a beer for $5. That doesn't even include the $5 you should throw at least occasionally into the tip jar. This is a thing that you always see, and the media loves to cover it that way. Bad, bad billionaire. But it's us. If we play, and you can play all you want. Do whatever you want. Go to as many happy hours as you want if you take care of business. But don't tell me you don't have a few bucks if you're using it all partying. Because you do. And that takes all the pressure off. It's just, it's gone. All right, we're out of time. Lecture over. Time out. I'm going to go watch a little great golf at the Boise Open. And then it's train tonight. Hope you have tickets. Going to be tough to get in. You have to jump the fence. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.